Are you ready, kids? Get your parents' permission, check your mailbox, and grab your shopping cart. It's time for the Adventures in Collecting podcast.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Dave.
Welcome to Adventures in collecting,
where we talk toy news, culture, and hauls,
along with our journeys as collectors. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Adventures in Collecting. We're back.
We're back. Hey, I wanted to give a delay and, you know, see if everybody either, ooh, is he going to say hi or is he going to say something different? And I chose something different today.
You did. Look at you.
Hey, Eric, I got a question.
Ooh, what's your question, Dave?
Hey, Eric, are we going to bury the lead today?
No, we are not going to bury the lead. Great question, because as always, when we have a guest, there is no sense in burying the lead, because chances are you already read the episode description and you know who we're about to talk to. But Dave, we have a special guest with us today.
Awesome.
So Spin Master is one of the world's most ever-present toy companies, making toys for everything from stuff like Paw Patrol and Hatchimals to Monster Jam, Beyblade, and of course Batman and the other DC superheroes. So joining us this evening from Spin Master, we have Brock McLaughlin. Brock, thank you so much for joining us on Adventures in Collecting.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It is going great. We're buried in snow. You're up in Toronto, right?
I'm in Toronto. I took a little walk around the block before we started this little podcast, and the snow is like up to my knees. It's crazy.
Oh, so you're also, yeah. Do you want to build a snowman?
I should have expected that. I really set that one up for you.
That'll get like the YouTube flag right there.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to monetize this this episode. Oh, well. So before we get started talking about all the cool stuff that that Spin Master's up to, the first thing that we like to ask all of our guests is, what are you currently collecting?
Oh, boy. Other than memories and life stories, a whole lot of books. I've like just dove into just reading everything I can these last few months. And I mean, we're on lockdown. We just got put in lockdown until March 8th. We've been in lockdown for, since last March, last February at this time. So nothing much else to do but read. I mean, it can't go outside. It's too cold. So reading fantasy books like crazy. So if there's a fantasy series, I probably now own it, or it's in my shopping cart waiting to be purchased.
Yeah, I've been following your reading escapades on Twitter. It's been fun. I've been getting book recommendations just by proxy, by seeing what you've been reading. So
nice. I'm obsessed with The Wheel of Time right now.
That's a good one. I hope you take our suggestion for the Dark Tower seriously, because that series is unbelievable. The Gunslinger can be a rough start, but the whole series on a whole is fantastic.
I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to wake up tomorrow nice and early, just read through The Gunslinger, get it over with. I've read it before. I just don't like it, but I want to start at the beginning and then go through the whole series. And I have all the books already. Like, I'm ready to go. I just need to like get through the slog that is The Gunslinger.
It's so cool, because that series, not to go off on a complete tangent, this could be like an entire other episode of the podcast, but The Dark Tower is really cool because it kind of connects all of Stephen King's books. Like, there's like a little bit from every, it really kind of has that like shared universe feel to it. So if you are a Stephen King fan, there's a lot of like little breadcrumbs and Easter eggs throughout.
Yeah, it's like his multiverse.
Well, all his books are connected, right? Like, that's the overall theme, is somehow they all kind of connect in a really geeky, like nerdy way.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of the like Castle Rock connection.
But this is like overt, like, whereas the other ones, like, if you're a really big Stephen King fan and you can just kind of pick up on little things, like, this series actually touches on different aspects, like, specifically. So
it's, yeah, mostly it's like random location.
Fun. Yeah.
Hmm.
So other than the fantasy books right now, is there anything else that's filling up your shelves?
Oh man, I don't have much room for much more stuff at this point. You know, my own, like, Spin Master collection, like, I love our Batman line, and we'll get into that later, but I mean, that's a huge one for me. And then anything Kylo Ren related from Star Wars, I'm a sucker for that emo Hot Topic Star Wars cast member. Big fan. So yeah, I guess those, like, there's a whole bunch of Funkos coming out. I want to jump on, like, the new Lord of the Rings one looks good, and the new Star Wars ones looks good. There's those weird, like, Valentine Day ones I kind of want to jump on too. Like, I need a pink Darth Vader.
Who doesn't need a pink Darth Vader?
But, like, the Stormtroopers cool too, yeah.
Right? I thought they were cool. People were dunking on them. I'm like, this looks pretty dope.
And we've talked about this before, but, like, it's really cool that the Lucasfilm kind of brand is now allowing some of these toy makers to make, like, these kitschy, weird versions of characters. So, like, the Funko Pops for the different holidays. The Black Series had the Holiday Troopers, which were insanely awesome and weird. Yeah.
I wish there was a Valentine's Pork, but...
Well, you wish there was a pork.
That's
for
a good
everything.
Idea.
Yeah, a pork for all seasons. Well, there was the holiday ones with the Black Series figures, so.
Yep.
They kind of just dropped the porgs, didn't they?
There was one in the Rise of Skywalker, and they were in the animated holiday special. So I think they're gonna stick around for a little bit.
I hope so. I mean, I got, like, a pork blanket and stuffed animals and pork toys. I got my hands on as much pork stuff as I could, like, right off the bat.
Oh, you are among friends.
you're among company here.
Cool, a bunch of porg heads, eh?
Yeah, I even got a porg on like my a suction cup porg in my car. Like,
Dave, I think the only thing porg that you are missing at this point would be a tattoo.
We talked about that. I remember what I had said was if porg saves the galaxy, which I think. Porg being in the Millennium Falcon was part of it. So it could happen someday.
So Brock, you mentioned that you started to kind of build your a Spin Master collection there on your shelves. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you found your way into the toy world and into Spin Master?
Yeah, for sure. Funny enough, another toy company had reached out to me to shoot some toy photography. And I completely fell in love with that. And the post did pretty well on social. And Spin Master had seen that and called me up and recruited me in. And the next thing was history. I started in our social division and kind of moved around. And now I oversee our influencer side of things, as well as work with a great team on our trends and still social here and there. I mean, I can never escape it. I'm always on the lookout for what's hot on TikTok and YouTube.
Yeah, and it must be really interesting, you know, like we had mentioned at the top of the show, Spin Master produces toys for such a wide range of brands, and dealing with kind of the social, you know, the ever-changing, you know, social landscape and, you know, supporting those brands. What is it like supporting all of these different franchises from your role?
I think it's a dream come true, to be perfectly honest. I love it. I mean, when I first came in, we were working on the BB-8 remote control toys that are, like, life-size BB-8. And I was like, wow, I get to, like, take one of those home and work on this campaign. Like, I get to work on a Star Wars campaign, like, directly with Disney. I was like, I'm emailing someone with an at Disney signature, which I thought was super cool. I mean, it's been so fun. Like, I get to work on a bunch of brands I grew up with and a bunch of brands that other kids are now growing up with, which I think is just, it's really cool. Like, I remember Spin Master when I was a kid. I'm in my early 30s now, as in, you know, Air Hogs was one of the first big things I remember. Air Hog, the pump rocket. It was so cool. And now I get to see those products every day and have an impact on them. And, you know, I've had my hands in, like, naming things, and just overall, like, how the marketing campaigns look for these products are really, really fun. And my voice is heard, which is always fantastic.
So it was really interesting for us last year, going to Toy Fair and going into the Spin Master booth and seeing just the kind of like it almost, we didn't realize how many different brands and how many different sides of the business there were to Spin Master. And it was just kind of like, as we were taking that tour, you know, stop after stop, it's like, oh, Spin Master does this and this. Oh my, and they do this too. And then Monster Jam and then Batman and then Beyblade. Like, we were just kind of blown away by the wide array of things that Spin Master is doing.
Yeah. I mean, even like taking us back to like Tech Deck, you know?
Oh man, I love Tech Deck. I used to make Sponsor Me Tech Deck videos way before YouTube, like just on an old VHS. I guess I like mail them in. I guess it would be mailed to wherever they were going at the time. So working on Tech Deck is super, super cool. It's so weird, like not being at Toy Fair. It just kind of hit me yesterday that it was not a thing going on this year, when I get an email from one of our influencers asking about, you know, our plans, if we had a press release or anything. And I'm like, oh yeah, we do. But it's just not as exciting as being in New York in a booth for five crazy long days.
Oh, yeah, we're jonesing for it hard.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun last year.
It is. It's so cool. And I love meeting people. I love to, you know, get to know the people I talk to like on a day-to-day basis and just see all the products and see what everyone else is working on. And you know, there's obviously things behind closed doors at Toy Fair that I'm like, ooh, I wish I could get behind there. But everything forward facing is just so cool. Like just walking in and seeing like a 50-foot Pikachu is just blows my mind.
Yeah, and even, you know, like going into the Spin Master booth, like we saw probably one of the favorites of what we saw at Toy Fair last year, which was the Batman and DC comic stuff. So how did Spin Master begin producing those Batman and DC Comics toys?
Nice segue there.
Thank you. Thank you.
It was back in December 2018. We announced we had signed a 3-year global licensing deal with Warner Brothers, and which is super exciting. When I caught wind of this, I was over the moon because I, like most, you know, people on Earth, love Batman. And like we got straight away to working on that collection and premiered it at Toy Fair in 2019 for the first time.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, I have an affinity for toys of that scale, right? Those 3 3/4, 4-inch action figures. But when these first started to pop up, I mean, it's just one of those things where it was a combination of kind of like all things. And you know, one of the things that we noticed was a trend throughout Toy Fair last year, and is a trend kind of throughout a lot of Spin Master's offering, was that blind box, blind bag style toy. And the fact that, you know, you guys worked that into a Batman toy, I thought was very interesting. So it was that something that like on the outside of the line, the team was like, yeah, we need to get one of those like blind bag, blind box elements into the toy? Or was it something that came later on in the development?
I mean, we work pretty close with Warner Brothers Consumer Products on the details and designs of each of those items. And then talking with the retailers on what they were after as well. I do think it's really cool that our 4-inch Batman toys line up with my old Star Wars toys I had as a kid. Like, they're the same size. My Darth Vader can go toe-to-toe with my Batman can go toe-to-toe with Darth Vader. What I'm trying to say. And we just wanted to try something different. Like, you know, bring back that 4-inch figure and revolutionize the action figure. And then, you know, we added an enhanced unboxing experience, which is totally new too, which I think is really cool with the hidden accessories and things like that. And just gives a more surprise and play value for the buyer.
Yeah, I actually just opened, just before our interview, I had, was sitting here fiddling around, and I opened the brand new Mr. Freeze, the Target exclusive Mr. Freeze.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. I don't have that one.
So I have to shout out our friend Khalil over at Caster's Corner. He found it in Target in Connecticut and knew I was looking for it. So I got a text message. And he was like, "I found it. Should I ship it to you?" Yes. The answer is yes.
You guys get way more characters than we do, because I'm up in Canada, so we don't have like the Target exclusives. So I used to either get them when I was down the States, or hopefully they end up at our office. But because we're not there, I can't get my hands on them right now.
Well, I have to say, This is fantastic. I love the redesign of the box. And like you mentioned, that unboxing experience. It's cool because now there's actually like two layers. You pop off the back and then there's like a second layer you have to pop through. But I love the whole accessory thing because it really takes me back to like, I don't want to say like the glory days of action figures, but like the 90s when Kenner was producing Batman figures and they came with these like insane like bazookas and like backpack stuff and they all could interchange and interact with each other. And
all the different armors and stuff were the best.
And that's, I love this figure line because it really kind of captures that essence of like what made toys so cool when we were kids.
I got to pop back a question to you guys. How do you store all those accessories? As like a fan of this line too, I'm like, what do I do with all these extra pieces of armor and weapons and stuff? Other than keep them in a bag or on my floor.
So what I actually do is I have many of them out on display, each of them holding something so that there's some, they each have some sort of accessory or multiple accessories in certain cases. But then what I actually do is I have a bag that I just, all of the accessories go straight into the bag with the characters that are not out on display. And when I'm doing toy photography or when I'm, you know, resetting up the a diorama for something, I just pull out that bag and it's literally like I have a field day. You know, I can have any character hold anything, throw any kind of backpack on. If I need, you know, Batman with a jetpack, I can throw the jetpack on. Or, you know, it's really just kind of I have them all in one place so I can grab what I need.
Nice.
Yeah, rotation is key. Yeah, I have the bag
same
too.
Boat. I got the bag. That's how I do it. Dude, the Court of Owls is like my absolute favorite figure because I think his accessories are just wicked.
Yep, the two blades and the pegged on owl is just is the best.
Right?
Yeah, when that was, that's actually, it's funny you say that. That's actually, it's, if not my favorite, my second favorite figure. It was probably my favorite figure until the Bane came out. Bane might be my favorite now, but just because he's so big.
Yeah, that was one I only saw like from you, but I had never seen it myself out anywhere. But Batwoman is probably my favorite from that first wave.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is it? Just like in 20, like I try to put like my 10-year-old hat on, right, and think like, you know, the fact that there are two Court of Owls figures, you know, because if you're collecting the 12-inch scale or the 4-inch scale, like what an awesome villain to have out there that like there's really not been any, you know, outside of like collector grade, you know, like DC Direct, DC collectible stuff, there hasn't really been a Court of Owls action figure ever, and now there are two and they're both great.
Yeah, we got that feedback a lot. I fanboyed out, man, when I first saw that. It was so cool. It's really cool to be at the front and be the first to do something like that.
So this actually goes into one of the questions that we wanted to ask you. So there's an ocean of characters in the DC world to choose from, right? And you guys have not been sheepish in embracing some of the lesser known ones like the Court of Owls, like Bronze Tiger or Copperhead, before including, you know, some of the more popular A-list characters. Like we still haven't seen a 4-inch Harley Quinn or a 4-inch Penguin. You know, Mr. Freeze just came out and the Riddler just came out. But, you know, we've seen some of these.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Batgirl yet. How does the team decide on what toy or what character to make next?
Yeah, we work obviously pretty closely with Warner Brothers on each character design. And at the end of the day, like, our designers themselves are just super fans of this Batman universe and just bring their creativity to the drawing board. Like, they pitch ideas and hope they come to life. And it kind of really shows, you know, Spin Master as a whole's meticulous attention to detail. It's like a lot of these stylized sculpts and that are just cool for both children and hardcore collectors. And I think that's what this line does really well, is it appeals to both. We have like our classic Batman characters, Deco's, you have tons of Batman. We know boys love Batman, but it's also really cool to just bring new characters in to keep this line fresh and exciting and try something new that no one's done in the past. I mean, Spin Master as a whole is really good at paving the way for new ideas and new innovation. And I think this line really does a good job of that.
Yeah, and I mean, there is definitely texture to the line for sure. And yeah, we kind of have come to expect that there's going to be a Batman in every wave of these figures. Mm-hmm. There has to be, because there always has to be a Batman on the shelf. Yeah. But it's just, I remember one of those early waves, like seeing Firefly in there and thinking like, what, like this is incredible, because I totally bought Firefly and he's an amazing figure. But like the boldness to put out a Firefly figure and like a Bronze Tiger figure before a Penguin figure. And like, again, like I mentioned, like Harley Quinn, Mr. Freeze, like some of those like A-lister Batman figures, it's just mind blowing. And then to watch them sell and like watch them restock and sell again as we continue to like go through toy stores, it's just, it's incredible.
That Firefly figure is so wicked.
Oh, it's so cool. And there's just like an amazing roster of villains that are like possible. Like, that's the one thing, is like Batman has literally hundreds of villains. Like, you can, and there's
a gallery
so
of
many
rogues.
So many characters to just like dive into. Like, when you think of like somebody like Firefly, like, it's like, oh, wait, now this reminded me of like 10 more Batman villains.
I was going to say, some of these characters, you don't necessarily, like some of them bring you to some of the more, like, darker aspects of Batman, right? Like, when you think of certain characters, you think of the things that maybe on the surface you wouldn't think are necessarily, like, a kid-friendly character. But then you see, you realize, like, the design is just so kind of toyetic, and it harkens back to, again, like going back to those old school like Kenner figures that were just toyetic and fun to play with. And maybe this is how kids are being introduced to these classic Batman characters for the first time, right? But that must, like, how does that balance work? Like, how do you guys strike that balance between making something that is super fun for a kid and like attractive to a kid, but also attractive to somebody that's collecting these from, a collector standpoint?
A lot of brainstorming and back and forth, I think, would be the key kind of answer here. You're looking for? I mean, when we're working with WB, we look at aligning it like key tempo events that they have as well, in the main franchise. And if it, if it works for one of their movies or their shows or something on their app, and then from there, we get to expand on our own and do our own thing. And that's when we bring in strange characters like Bronze Tiger, who was, I think, at Toy Fair last year, the most asked about toy we had, because people were like, who is that? Who is that guy? And I'm like, I think it's Bronze Tiger. And they're like, what's he from? And I'm like, the 70s. He hasn't been around in a long while. He looks very different now.
What's he from? The 70s. I love that. I think we had a similar moment where we were looking at the 3-in-1 Batcave, and I think Copperhead was on there, and I looked at Dave, and Dave is much more well versed in like specifically like the comic stuff than I am, and I looked at him and I was like, "Who's the snake?" And he was like, "I think that's Copperhead." And then we like had to take our phones out and Google it, and we're like, they're making a Copperhead figure? What? And there it is.
He's a deep dive for sure, and different than the version we're kind of used to seeing now.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Now, if you get into those like 60s and 70s like weird bat suits and like. Things
I want
like
a rainbow
that,
Batman suit. As a fan, I just want like a ridiculous rainbow Batman suit. And as a fan, I want, like, we have a Solomon Grundy in a 2-inch. I really want that as a 6-inch.
Some of those 2-inch figures, the designs on them are fantastic. That was where Bane made his first appearance, was in the 2-inch figure, and then the 12-inch, and then
that's such a
we
wicked 2-inch figure too.
Yeah.
Again, I'm fanboying on my own a product that I work on because I do really love it. I think that Bane is sick. The 2-inch are, like, for the price, they're just so well done. There's so much detail and just such a strange selection of characters.
Yeah, and that's I mean, we're just so far we're just talking about Batman, right? I mean, you guys also do the Heroes United, the just kind of the DC comics line as well. The, you know, it's a more limited offering, but talk about an ocean of characters. I mean, now we're talking like the entire DC universe, and the kind of the world is your oyster, I guess I would imagine at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibility and a lot on the in the pipeline too on that one, which is really exciting.
So, we have a couple of other questions for you, but before we jump into those, Brock, let's talk a little bit about the questions that we have from our followers. So we posted a story, and we got a ton of responses back from it. A lot of them were kind of similar or in the same realm. So we kind of smushed a few together. Are you ready for some surprise bonus questions here?
Dude, I love a good surprise.
All right. So the first one,
we're blind boxing these questions.
The first one, I think you'll actually have. I think you'll have a fun answer for this because there was something already revealed just a few days ago. But are there plans for additional playsets that are similar to the 3-in-1 Batcave?
Yes, yes, there sure are. It's huge. It's absolutely massive. I don't quote me on this. You can quote me. I believe it's almost 3 feet. And it's the size of like a small child, and will allow for all kinds of play. And yeah, that's coming this fall.
Yeah, that thing looks insane with the elevator, and it
and it folds into Batman. Like it is Batman. Like that's the other cool part about it.
See, this is what we're missing, not at Toy Fair. Otherwise, we could be, you know, looking at this actually in person. I've only seen it on video and presentation screens. But I'm very excited for it. It's just huge.
I forget who said it, but I had like a spit take when I saw the post come up, but it was like, instead of I'm Batman, I'm Batcave.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clever. I like that. I'm Batcave.
And it's such an easy way to kind of like, what do you do next after that Batcave, which was an awesome Batcave? Well, you make Batman.
Yeah, you just make it as big as possible.
Yeah.
And I mean, it again, like the history, the long history of you know, DC Comics figures and Batman figures has been about accessories, costumes, playsets, and vehicles. And like with every new thing that you guys are introducing, there's one of those elements is included, like the, you know, the new RC Bat Tank that was announced alongside of that that Batcave, the Batmobile that launches Batman across the room out of it, which is amazing. You know, so I'm hoping, and I'm not going to push you for spoilers here, but I'm hoping you guys have more playsets in the future too. Legion of Doom would be great.
That'd be so cool. As a fan, I hope so too, because I love playsets. I think back, like my first playset was probably the Ninja Turtles, like Krang's, like. Krang's lair or whatever, and it was just so cool. We need more playsets in general.
One of my favorites from when I was a kid was the Kenner Hall of Justice. So,
oh, nice.
And it's tough, you know, as a lot of these companies move to larger scale figures, like that 1/12 scale. It's mm-hmm. tough to make vehicles and especially like playsets. Like, I mean, in order for them to stay in scale, they have to be massive, like these massive, massive things. But when you're making smaller figures, I feel like you have a little bit more leeway, and you know, not only the shelf space that you take up at retail, but also, you know, for people to actually use and enjoy. You know, it's, you know, you're working with something a little bit smaller.
Is there possibility for more, like we were talking about, like the Rainbow Batman, anything for more like older, more historic comic characters?
I mean, there's lots more to come. That's what I can say on that one. I mean, we'll be showing off a lot of toys you probably would have seen at Toy Fair in the near future.
Excited. We are excited for that.
Yes, very much so.
me too. we're just getting to start it on kind of what that's going to look like in terms of like on social and marketing. So that is in the pipeline for soon.
Yeah, I gotta imagine it has to be very challenging for you guys without Toy Fair, because I know how big Toy Fair is in terms of not just for, you know, consumers, but for actually, you know, getting buyers for the product and the you know, the purveyors of toys, if you will. Are there plans to do kind of like little virtual events, or, you know, is it kind of just, you know, as things come out, they come out at this point?
Yeah, like we did a few virtual events last year. I thought they all went really good and it was fun. It was great to see faces again. I know there's Zoom fatigue too and people are burnt out. But we're definitely looking at doing more virtual events over the course of the year. It's just about, you know, making sure that the we have the right product and it's a good experience. I've definitely been to a few Zoom events that are like, wow, this is really cool and innovative. So we just need to, you know, look what's out there and try and make something just as cool and memorable. It's such a strange thing. Like, toys are such a thing you put your hands on and touch. So to do it all virtually is just such a different experience. So yeah, we'll see.
So we saw a Brainiac figure on display last Toy Fair. Is he still coming?
Oh boy, I forgot about that. I don't know. I'll find out though. That I can get an answer for. I just can't right now.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we post the results of that question. Yeah, and that's one of those ones where every now and then his you know, because there has been a community that has, you know, developed around this toy line, a collector community, and every now and then somebody posts a picture of, like, you know, a blurry shot of Brainiac from Toy Fair. It's like, has anyone seen him? Is he coming? Is it because that DC Heroes, the Heroes Unite line, some of those figures have been extremely hard to come by. You know, some of those two packs and like Darkseid and I think one of the Aquaman figures and Reverse Flash, like some of those from that specific line, because they were a Target exclusive for a considerable amount of time, you know, were very hard to come by. So I'm sure people were just kind of like, did I miss him? Or
yeah, I'll find out. I mean, that line has definitely been harder for even, you know, me to get, but there's so many cool figures I want. There's a Gorilla God I really want.
Yeah, that's an awesome one too. Any of right? those like bigger, like chunkier villain figures, they're so much fun. There's so much plastic and they're very toyetic, so
right. I just love a big chonky villain. Like the Clayface guy looks so cool on my shelf here.
Yep, Clayface, that's my whole back line of figures in my display, is like
King Shark,
Man-Bat, yep. King Shark, Clayface.
Man-Bat is massive.
Yep, and then there's Albino Man-Bat. That was a Target exclusive.
Yeah, that was a cool one. Again, like such a weird deep dive. I mean, when was the last time you'd really seen Man-Bat? And then an albino version, you're like, wow, I honestly don't even know where he came from.
Yep. But I again,
at one point in a comic.
But that continues to go back to the, like, it almost doesn't matter, right? Like the Batman that's out now, there's a few different new Batman figures that are part of that Bat-Tech series that they have, like, the glitched out looking bat costumes. And it's like, Batman's never worn that before. It doesn't matter because it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a cool design. It's like one of the most famous Batman figures, he was wearing, was it, I always forget what it was called, and I'm gonna get roasted for this, but that like all gold Batman, the one that had, I want to say it was like Armor Tech or something like that, but he was all gold. It was from the Michael Keaton era of Batman, and he was in like an all gold and black outfit, like reverse of his normal colors, and it has gone on to be like one of the most famous Batman figures and like one of the most beloved. But that's the thing that's great about figures. You know, if it looks cool as an action figure, it doesn't have to have existed anywhere else previously.
And Batman has like a million outfits too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have that, the orange suit Batman in the 2-inch line. And then like, I look at my Lego Batman lineup, which is massive. And there's so many weird ones. Like, I have, you know, Batman in boxing gloves and yellow shorts for some reason. Why he needs boxing gloves, I don't really know. And like Vacation Batman, and which I also think is hilarious. Vacation Joker and Vacation Batman are just amazing figures.
Yeah, we need it. We need a Spin Master Batman in a Hawaiian shirt and like flip flops.
I agree. And an Alfred. Just give me an Alfred.
Yeah, we need an Alfred. That's a good point. We got to get
an Alfred. I want a jacked Alfred, vacation Alfred, just normal butler Alfred.
And while we're talking about like unmasked characters, right? Like a Bruce Wayne, a Dick Grayson, an Alfred, mm-hmm. just like casual, like the casual Wayne family.
Just hanging out, having a picnic.
Tim Drake.
Yeah, why not, man? Think about all the people that like make that like a chase figure instead of like an all gold chase variant Batman. Make like just Bruce Wayne in sweatpants, the chase the chase variant figure. Now I can't get that image out of my head. All right, so we've now seen the first part of Spin Master's new offering for Batman figures for 2021, the Bat Tech, and inside the Bat Tech there is a cross sell for the Freeze Tech, with the figures yet to be revealed. There are just kind of some silhouettes there. Is there anything that you can tell us? Anything fun that you can reveal or tell us what we can expect for 2021?
Other than it's going to look awesome, not so much. Other than stay tuned, it's going to be sweet. There's a lot of exciting characters coming, and again, like we're going to see characters that are just make you go, "Whoa, alrighty then." That's a must have.
That's the thing I'm looking forward to most, because like we've talked about kind of ad nauseum, is the weird selection of characters. There are characters, I'm sure, much like when we saw Copperhead, we had to like stop and think for a minute, that there are characters that we have not thought of in the Batman universe that, I'm sure you guys are going to surprise us with.
For sure.
Just
like Batman surprises Commissioner Gordon. That's what we do.
No one expects Killer Moth, like, and that's and it's one of the best ones. Killer Moth is like an awesome figure.
Honestly, I think the last time I saw Killer Moth, like mentioned, was in the Arkham video games, and he was like on a murdering rampage.
Yeah. Yep. Killer Moth, Victor Zsasz, all those again, like all of those like deep cut. Weirdo Calendar Man.
They're the best villains.
Calendar Man can be kind of cool. I mean, he has a good little story. The toy would be very interesting. Or Kite Man. I would love Kite Man, only because Harley Quinn has made him so popular.
I was gonna say he's got a new resurgence as Poison Ivy's on again, off again boyfriend.
Man, I love that show.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so good. And that was like, and that's the other thing too. Like I was like, do I need King Shark? And then I started watching Harley Quinn. I was like, yeah, I need King Shark now.
Yeah, you need. Yeah, they totally revitalized King Shark and brought a whole new version of him to the forefront. I'm so curious to see what Suicide Squad is going to do with him now and how similar he's going to be.
Well, he looks great in that Suicide Squad video game. We Have to Kill Superman video game that they show the trailer for.
Yeah.
That looks interesting. So more love for King Shark, man.
Kids must love him though. Like kids must just eat him up. I mean, the sharks are huge with kids, and then make him like funny and it's superhero in Batman's world. Like, whew.
It's any of those anthropomorphic characters, like combine animal and person, monster, supervillain, or superhero. Easy. It's an easy sell for a kid that doesn't even know what it is, right? It's a shark man. Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, like Crocodile Man, like Killer Croc. Like, come on.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it. The last question that we had from our audience is just about that the DC specific line. So like not the Caped Crusader Batman line, but people want to see more of that DC line. Do you guys have additional figures planned for that line as well?
Yeah, it's coming. We definitely want to spend more time focusing on it. Batman's the big one, but we definitely want to show off more of that DC line. Cause I think it's super unique.
awesome. I think what ended up happening was, at least here, you know, in our particular region, it kind of dried up at Target and became just kind of a peg of Superman figures. And a lot of people were not able, like I'd mentioned, were not able to find some of the villains, like the Lex Luthors and everything. And then all of a sudden, the first two waves started showing up at Walmart now, now that it's no longer a store exclusive. But I think a lot of people were worried that when it showed up with the same stuff again, was that maybe the line was not continuing. So I think everyone will be very happy to hear that that line is, in fact, continuing.
Yeah, I have a big soft spot in that for that line too, because I just love the black costume Superman we have, and I love Shazam's little Billy figure that comes with it as well.
Yep, it was awesome. Yeah, that was a nice little touch.
Right, I opened that up and I was like, "Damn, that's a good surprise."
Gotta love that unboxing experience, right?
Gotta love that unboxing experience.
So one thing that we always ask all of our guests, before we kind of get in, before we wrap things up, Dave, do you want to do your best James Lipton?
Yes, I can do my James Lipton. Last question before we let you go. What's your favorite and or oddest piece in your collection?
Oh man. All right. Oh, I know exactly what it is. It is a 12-inch figure of Aunt May that I still have in the box. It is absolutely terrifying. I can send you a photo. You can put it along with the casters. What you can share it out. It is disgusting. It's like, I don't know. It's just Aunt May, and she's like, her hands are all like weird and like grotesque and scary, and her face is like melting. It's bizarre. I think that would be my absolute favorite. I'm just so proud of how awful it is.
Oh my god! I'm trying to picture it. Is it like the Spider-Man the Animated Series Aunt May?
Yeah, like really old Aunt May.
That's the first time I've seen like the answer be it could be either answer. Like it could be favorite and oddest.
Yeah, usually like, we get one or the other.
Sorry, it's 8 inches. And it's something else. I mean, I don't know what little boy wants to pick up an Aunt May figure, but here we are.
I mean, hey, I may be a 33-year-old man, but if a Marissa Tomei Aunt May Marvel Legends figure was announced tomorrow, I would 100% buy it.
Okay, well that's a little different story. That's more exciting. But Peter's inexplicably extremely old aunt makes not much sense.
She's always been super old. It's true. She's always been like a woman of a certain age.
Which never really made much sense.
Oh, I saw you just said, wait, I got to look at this. This makes for great radio as I look at my phone to see this picture.
I had to send it over. I got to see this. I keep it very close
to my
desk.
Oh my God.
Inspiration.
No. All right. Wait. Who made this?
This is by Toy Biz.
Oh my good Dave, I'm sending this to you now. This is all right.
She's
we are
got,
definitely
like her accessories are high socks and like a pink bib.
she looks more like something out of Evil Dead than Spider-Man.
You can see why that's my most coveted toy.
Even her hands, why did they give her hands that look like they're like, I'll swallow your soul?
They gave her like claw hands, like she's gonna like that's weird.
This
yeah,
is
like,
fantastic.
Everything about it is just bizarre.
Wow. What?
I found it at like a Comic-Con here in Toronto and it was like, I don't know, $10. And I'm like, that is the most beautiful toy I've ever seen. I like those weird deep cut those. Like I like really weird, you know, the weird stuff. I think it's hilarious. It tells it more of a story and it's just funny to look at. Because you're like, this went through so many people's like brainstorms and design sessions and like people worked on this for, you know, a while. And it's like, how did this come to be?
Yeah, I can't. I've never seen this before in my life.
I think the weirdest part though is I keep focusing on her left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like that, like it, like it's a hand that I would give like almost like a baseball toy, like if it was throwing a ball.
It's not proportionally right. It's too big.
And it's also, so you just sent me the front of the box, and I just sent this to Dave as well. The front of the box is, it says famous covers. So it's supposed to be her from this cover of Amazing Spider-Man, looks like 115.
Brandishing a gun towards Spider-Man. Yeah,
but there's a few things here, okay, I want to point out. On that cover, she's in a purple outfit and a white smock. She's wearing pink on this, on the toy, so it doesn't match that. But there's also a cartoon picture of her next to that where she has like a pendant and a blue blazer on and a red shirt. Doesn't match that either. Like, none of it adds up.
No, none of this works. Ultra-posable
figure with authentic fabric costume.
I think this is what the kids in the internet would say is a cursed image.
Yes. Yes, it is cursed.
It's just weird because when you open it up, you're right, it matches nothing on the front of the box.
No, nothing, not at all. Doesn't even come close.
Down to
which,
like,
makes it even better.
Yeah. This is thank you so much for sharing this with us. This is perfect.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
This is a,
if I had
this is a
extras,
wonderful
I would
way.
Send them to you. Because I should have just bought the whole collection, because why not?
Brock, if you had extras of this, they would come to life in the middle of the night and end your life.
They look like they belong in the movie Small Soldiers.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. This is the kind of doll where, like, if you get this in the mail and you try to, like, burn it in your fireplace or throw it out in the garbage, it just shows back up in your mailbox the next day.
That's what happened with this one.
I could tell. Like, oh, man. All right, Brock, thank you so much for joining us on Adventures in Collecting and talking shop with us and maybe giving me nightmares with an Aunt May figure from the early 90s. Where can we find you on the internet, and is there anything that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, you can find me, I'm on at Brock McLaughlin on everything. I talk a lot about, I don't know, books and gaming and fun stuff like that. What we call nerd stuff, which is very super mainstream now, nerd stream, on Twitter, Instagram, things like that. And then I like to talk about the Sandman on a weekly show called What Dreams Cost. Which is a little fun little side project I've started.
Awesome. Is that a podcast?
It is. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can hear more of Brock on his podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe to that as soon as you're done listening to this. There you go.
Thanks. That was cool.
So Brock, thanks again. We are super excited for all of the stuff that's coming this year from Spin Master. We can't wait to see what secrets you guys and surprises you guys have in store for us. And thanks again for joining us on Adventures in Collecting.
Thanks, Brock.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. This is really fun. And I loved, I really hope I gave you nightmares, because otherwise I did not do my job right.
Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us today. Subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen, and then tell your friends to do it. Thanks also to Joe Azari, the golden voice behind our intro. Our music is Game Boy Horror by the Zombie Dandies. Find more about them both in our show notes.
Follow us on social media at AIC_podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Stop by and say hi, show us your toy hauls, and share your toy stories. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Don't try this at home. Void where prohibited and some assembly required. Each sold separately, not a flying toy. Consult a physician if your toy run exceeds more than 4 hours.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.